By the time Ava Gardner was 30 years old, she'd been married three times. In 1950s America, one divorce made you damaged goods. Two divorces made you the problem. Three divorces, you were supposed to disappear in shame. But Ava Gardner didn't disappear. She became a legend. Today, we're talking about her affair with Frank Sinatra, one that destroyed his marriage to America's sweetheart and tanked his career. But this isn't Frank's story. This is about what Ava was actually searching for through three marriages, why even the love of her life wasn't enough to make her stay, and how she rewrote her story when the world wanted to write her off. This is The Scarlet Edit. I'm Nikki Corbett, and this is my signature series, Affairs Through the Ages. I am so excited to bring this story to you today. I have to say that as I have been diving deep into research on all of these different affairs, it has become such a good time understanding their backgrounds, seeing what their life story actually was, and how it led them to end up in some of the situations that they got themselves in. Now, of course, it's my thoughts, my opinion, my analysis, right? And my perspective is shaped by my own journey here in life, by everything that I've been through, everything that I've seen. But as I dug into this story for this week, I was first thinking, okay, this will be kind of cool. Frank Sinatra is having somewhat of a renaissance right now. If you pay attention on TikTok or in Instagram reels, a lot of his songs have been at the top of suggestions when you're putting together content. I think the ones I've seen the most are My Way and That's Life, and they're both great songs. So I was really intrigued. I thought, oh, this will be a really fun one. I'm super curious about Frank's life. Well, as I dug into his story and I learned more about Ava Gardner, I felt that she so accurately represented everything that we talk about here at The Scarlet Edit. So it made the most sense to really focus the story on her and her life and her journey and tie that up with how, I mean, she was kind of the Scarlet Edit OG before this podcast even existed, before I even existed, quite frankly, before my parents even existed. So let's get into it. So Ava was born in 1922 in a town called Grabtown, North Carolina. I looked it up on the map because I like to understand where people actually are. And it really is a small town in the middle of nowhere. It's about 150 miles from Raleigh and about 110 miles from the Outer Banks. So really is kind of in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina. She was the youngest of seven kids. Her family was dirt poor. They were tobacco farmers. Her father died when she was 16. And in order to survive and take care of seven children, her mother often took in boarders into their home so she could make some money. So essentially, it was a very chaotic household. One of her brother-in-laws was a photographer in New York City. He had taken some pictures of her, and he put her picture in his studio window. An MGM scout saw it, and he brought her to Hollywood in 1941 when she was 18. So she was quite literally plucked from poverty into Hollywood overnight. So she had no preparation for fame, wealth, Hollywood politics, and she had no education beyond high school. And come to find out, that education was something that she was insecure about her whole life. She was certainly beautiful. If you've ever seen photos of her, she was the classic 1940s beauty, the curled brunette hair that would be pinned in certain ways to just make it have that look, the bright red lip. She knew she was beautiful, but she did feel less than intellectually and socially based on her background and where she was from. So she found herself often seeking validation that she never got when she was a child. Losing her father at the age of 16, she lost a role model for male authority and for male protection in her life. So just 1 year after arriving in Hollywood, she met Mickey Rooney. At the time, he was MGM's biggest star. He pursued her, he made her feel special, and they ended up getting married after only weeks of dating. She was 19 and he was 21. She felt being chosen by the biggest star made her special. She felt that it was what success looked like. He represented everything that she wasn't. He was famous, he was confident, he was established. What actually happened was much darker. He cheated on her all the time, publicly. She was basically his arm candy while he partied. She didn't realize that being chosen by a star didn't make her special. It made her disposable. Their marriage, not surprisingly, only lasted 1 year, and they divorced in 1943. Despite Ava's background, I really find her courage to divorce someone only 1 year after being married to them. I find that powerful. I mean, if you think about it, in the 1940s, people weren't getting divorced. In 1943, the divorce rate was 0.26%. Let me say that again, 0.26%. Today, it's over 50%. So for a young girl, by a lot of standards, still a child, who had been plucked from relative obscurity and dropped into Hollywood at 19 years old, gotten married to someone she had only known for a few weeks, and then had the courage to divorce him just 1 year later, I think it says a lot about the grit and the bravery and the courageousness that was just innately inside of her. She definitely learned from this. Fame does not equal faithfulness, and being wanted does not equal being valued. I mean, she literally left MGM's golden boy. Staying with him, it could have been strategically smarter for her career and for God knows what else. But she wanted more for herself. Fast forward a couple of years and she meets Artie Shaw. He was a famous band leader, very intellectual, a jazz musician, and 35 years old. The opposite of Mickey Rooney. She felt that he really wanted to get to know her and not just show her off. She thought to herself, maybe a serious man will take me seriously. He's respectable, intellectual, cultured. Being his wife gives me the credibility that I crave. Well, here's what actually happened. He gave her reading lists, philosophy, literature, classics. He tried to educate her to be worthy of him. Now, remember I said at the beginning, her high school education was something that she was always insecure about. So he made her feel stupid constantly. A quote from Ava later, he wanted to make me into something I wasn't. So she felt like she was a project to him, not a partner. They divorced in 1946 after just 1 year of marriage. So what she learned from this one, being someone's improvement project is still not being enough. So leaving a second marriage, I mean, again, courage. She walked away from respectability rather than shrink herself to be what he wanted her to be. After her divorce from Artie, she took some time for herself. She dated a lot, but avoided commitment. She did start drinking more heavily, partying with the boys, the Hemingway Circle, bullfighters, adventurers. She built a reputation as being difficult and wild, but she started getting better roles at MGM, and she was done being what men wanted her to be. So by 1949, Ava Gardner, at 27 years old, had been married twice, divorced twice, and was building a reputation as a woman who wouldn't settle. She'd been the trophy wife who got cheated on. She'd been the student who got condescended to, and she was done. But she hadn't figured out yet what she was looking for, just what she wasn't willing to accept anymore. I love this point because I always say that figuring out what you don't want is just as important as figuring out what you do want. If you are still struggling to figure out what you do want, that's totally okay. We're constantly evolving as human beings, but figuring out what you don't want, that helps build the foundation for what you do. That helps create boundaries, and it helps give you opportunities to say no when something that you don't want presents itself in your current reality. So I like hearing this because I think all of us have had moments where we've had that I'm done. I'm done dealing with this. I won't accept this anymore. I won't be treated this way. I won't let somebody make me feel this way. Let's talk a little bit about who Frank was in 1949. He was 34. He was married to Nancy Barbato. They had been married for 10 years since 1939. They had three kids, Nancy Jr., Frank Jr., and Tina. And Frank's career was at an absolute peak. There's a term, Bobby Soxer, which is for the frenzied adolescent female fans of Frank Sinatra during the 1940s. They were known for wearing Bobby socks, skirts, and saddle shoes. So I totally remember this because I remember being a kid and dressing up like a Bobby Soxer for Halloween. Although I will say at the time, I didn't know that it was called a Bobby Soxer, but I do remember wearing saddle shoes and Bobby socks and a skirt with a petticoat underneath it. So, but all of that being said, Frank was already known to be a serial cheater. There were rumors of affairs throughout his entire marriage. Nancy was his high school sweetheart from a working-class Italian-American family like his. They got married at 24 and they immediately started having kids. She was, quote, the good wife. She ran the home. She raised the kids. She looked the other way. She represented stability, roots, and domesticity. His other affairs were physical and not emotional threats. So it was easy for her to look the other way. Easy being a very relative term, right? So why did Frank cheat? If she was his high school sweetheart that he was in love with, what was the deal? Well, they got married at 24 and he was famous by 27. So he didn't really have that single phase. He met her in high school and they stayed together. And then his career started taking off. And just let me for sure disclaim that by saying this is not an out or an excuse to be cheating on your wife. This is just simply, this is what was going on. He really never had any sort of single phase as an adult. When you couple that with the fact that he had unlimited opportunity, remember, he was a huge star. So there were fans screaming, he was touring constantly. And the era was wives looked the other way. And it was almost sort of expected that your husband would cheat on you. Nancy was safe, she was predictable, and she was forgiving. His relationship with Nancy worked for him. She provided stability at home, but he also had the ultimate freedom on the road. So it was easy for him to compartmentalize. I'm smiling as I'm saying compartmentalize because it was definitely something that got brought up in last week's episode of Affairs Through the Ages. It really is something when you are having relationships with more than one person is putting them in boxes and focusing on the one that you're with when you're there to compartmentalize their relationships as they're living them. All of these affairs were always on the road, so they never threatened his marriage until Ava came along. In 1949, on an MGM lot, Ava Gardner met Frank Sinatra. They had an instant, intense attraction. They both have been on record saying that it was immediate, and they started seeing each other almost right away. This time, Frank couldn't, or maybe wouldn't, hide it. Ava was nothing like Nancy. She wasn't maternal, she wasn't safe, she wasn't controllable. She challenged him, she matched his intensity. She didn't worship him or need him. He had to chase her. She represented freedom, danger, and sexuality versus domesticity. For Ava, though, Frank wasn't trying to change her or improve her, unlike both of her exes. He matched her drinking, her volatility, her passion. He was powerful in a way that Mickey and Artie weren't, but most importantly for her, he was obsessed with her in a way that nobody had been before. So the differences between all of these three men. Remember, Mickey was MGM's golden boy. He chose her, but he didn't value her. Artie valued her potential, but not her reality. And then there was Frank, and he seemed willing to burn his entire life down for her. Their affair began in 1949, and it was very public in nature. They weren't sneaking around very much. They started showing up together publicly. By 1950, the press caught on. Photos, gossip columns. I wonder what gossip columns were like during that time. It's something that I'm so curious about, because now we have the internet, we have social media, everything is out there within minutes of something happening. Like I talked about last week, back in the 90s, we had Us Weekly and all of the gossip magazines that would show up in our mailboxes once a week. So I'm so curious, what were the gossip columns like in the 1950s? Nancy filed for separation on Valentine's Day of 1950 because she had finally had enough. The public turned on Frank really hard. Nancy was beloved. She was a loyal wife and mother of his children. There were protests and boycotts against Frank. Could you imagine? Could you imagine in today's age boycotting because a music star cheated on his wife and then she filed for divorce? It's crazy how much things can change in less than 100 years. His career simultaneously tanked. He was having voice issues and music was changing. People's tastes were changing, but he kept choosing Ava. Ava never spoke badly of Nancy publicly, but also didn't seem particularly tortured about it. She later said, "I didn't break up a happy marriage." I want to pause here and talk about being the other woman, because that's what Ava was. Frank was married, Nancy existed, she had three kids with him, and Ava and Frank were public about their relationship anyway. Now, my situation wasn't exactly the same. While we were public in terms of our relationship when it came to going out in the world, going to dinner, traveling, spending time with my family, meeting my friends, he wasn't a public figure. So there wasn't paparazzi around us. There wasn't anybody writing about us in gossip columns. But I think like the important thing that I'm trying to tie this back to was Ava saying, "I didn't break up a happy marriage," and that she didn't seem particularly upset about Frank's marriage ending. I've said this before on other episodes, and sometimes it surprises people when I say this. I didn't feel badly for my ex's wife. I didn't feel like I was doing anything. I didn't feel like I was, I don't even know how to say it. Like I've had comments on YouTube where people have said like, "How could you do that to another woman? What is wrong?" And it's like, no, that wasn't a thought. That's not what it was about. My relationship was about the relationship. It was about the man that I was with and what we had together. It wasn't about me actively doing something to someone else. And so I can really relate to Ava saying, "Hey, I don't feel like I broke up a happy marriage." And for her not seeming to be that upset about it because she knew what was going on, but she wasn't focused on her, she was focused on Frank. So again, while I've also said many times that I wouldn't recommend this path for someone, because more often than not, being the other woman in someone's relationship doesn't end the way that you want it to, even if the couple does end up getting divorced. There's many times that couples do get divorced when a man or a woman has an affair, and it's very rare that the person that they were having the affair with, that they're able to move forward with a relationship. So I certainly never advise anybody to go off and be the other woman, expecting it to be a positive outcome. But I did want to acknowledge this and the way that she felt and the way that she also didn't feel, because I think it's a very real feeling and it's probably one that more women than just her and me have experienced, but it's also just not something that's talked about that openly because we're supposed to feel bad, right? We're supposed to feel like, "Oh my gosh, I broke up a marriage or I hurt a woman." And I'll say we for me and Ava Gardner, we didn't. So moving forward, Nancy and Frank's divorce was final in the beginning of 1951. Frank married Ava November 7th of 1951. Their relationship, as I've already mentioned, was intense, passionate, and volatile from day one. They both drank heavily. They both had insane jealous streaks. There were explosive fights. Neighbors often called the police, and there was often public scenes. Frank's career was in a free fall when they married. Ava's career was soaring. The movie Magambo made her a major star. He became jealous and insecure about her success. The dynamic shifted. His worship turned to control. So here's where Ava unfortunately starts to see some patterns from her past relationships. He started cheating on her. He became possessive and suspicious. And then she began cheating on him. Their fights escalated and even got physical at times. In 1953, she got pregnant. She wanted an abortion as her career was finally taking off, and sources conflict on whether Frank wanted the baby or supported her choice. She had the procedure, and something between them just died after this. Ava and Frank separated in 1953, but they kept trying for a couple of years, even though she filed for divorce in 1954. They reconciled, separated, reconciled again, separated again. In 1955, she moved to Spain, and then their divorce was final in 1957. They stayed connected, though, reportedly sleeping together occasionally for years, and he always had a photo of her until he died in 1998. Frank Sinatra was supposed to be the answer for Ava. He proved his love by leaving Nancy. He was obsessed with her. He matched her intensity. This was the validation she'd been seeking through three marriages. Someone who would sacrifice everything for her. But even that wasn't enough to make her stay. Because here's what Ava figured out. It doesn't matter how much someone loves you if the relationship still makes you small. It doesn't matter that he burned his life down for you if he then tries to control yours. And it doesn't matter that this is the love of your life if you still have to leave to save yourself. Once again, we find a woman exercising her courage in order to choose herself. I mean, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in that era and going and filing for divorce for the third time. It really, really takes so much courage and so much bravery, especially when the third one is someone who you loved so deeply and so passionately and so dearly. So what was next for Ava Gardner? She never married again, but she did live another 33 years. She died in 1990. She did have relationships and lovers after Frank. Bullfighters in Spain, younger men, Spanish aristocrats, but she never walked down the aisle again. She never let anyone have that kind of power over her. She called Frank the love of my life, but also, quote, we were terrible for each other. About marriage in general, she said, I should never have been married. I'm too independent. I imagine there are a lot of women that can relate to that statement. I'm too independent. We're certainly in an age where women are doing everything. We have great jobs. We're making our own money. We're owning our own homes. We're raising children. There's so much independence that comes with life these days. And it is very easy to say, well, look at everything that I'm doing on my own. Why would I need somebody else? And maybe need is the wrong word. Maybe want is the right word. I know for me, I don't feel like I need anybody, but I do want somebody. And I think it's the wanting that's the most important because I want somebody to come and add value to my life and what I've built. I want somebody to want to be here to do things with me, but that also views me as adding value to their life. I want someone that enjoys the same things that I do. I want someone that loves life the way I do. I want someone that wants to be with someone else. I want someone that wants to, I want to make sure that comes across how I intended it. I want someone who wants someone. And that someone would be me, not someone else. But you know what I mean? Like you want to be with somebody who also wants to be with somebody. But I don't need anyone. And it is because I am independent. And I have this beautiful life that I've built for myself. And I think it's good to not need. And I think it's so good to not need. I think it's much better to want. After Ava moved to Spain, where she felt she could live on her own terms, away from Hollywood's judgment, she did keep working. She showed up to events alone. She dated publicly. She gave blunt, honest interviews. And she didn't perform any sort of shame or redemption. She still felt dumb. Education insecurity never left her. And she still felt like a working class person in elite spaces. She was obsessed with aging and losing her looks. Man, she would have loved what we've got going on now with all the fun things we can do to keep looking younger and aging backwards. She felt that her looks, though, unfortunately and sadly, were her only real asset. But she also refused to hide and she refused to shrink. I think the biggest lesson in all of this is that confidence isn't the absence of insecurity. It's refusing to let insecurity make your decisions for you. I feel like Ava is just a walking example of this. She led with her confidence despite her insecurities. She continued to courageously make the best choices for her and not stay small. And I think that's really, really cool and really, really brave. So as we wrap up this episode, I want to talk about how Ava Gardner is basically the patron saint of the Scarlet Edit without ever even knowing it. She essentially wore the Scarlet Letter, but in big, bright neon lights. But what did she do? She owned it. She lived it. She became more interesting because of it. She became a legend, not despite her mess, but because she refused to hide it. She went from poor farm girl trying to be good enough to I'm too much for all of you and I don't care. I love that. So to her, three marriages before 30 wasn't a failure. It was her figuring out what she wasn't willing to settle for. Again, figuring out what you don't want is just as important as figuring out what you do. Three marriages before 30, an affair that destroyed America's sweetheart's image, labeled a homewrecker, difficult, damaged goods. But she kept leaving when things didn't serve her. She kept living loudly when she was supposed to hide. She kept choosing herself when everybody expected her to shrink. And she never married again, because she finally learned she didn't need to be somebody's wife to be whole. Your past, your divorces, your affairs, your mess does not have to define your future. And if you're wondering if I'm talking to you, yes, I am. And that is the whole point of why I created The Scarlet Edit. And Ava proved that. She rewrote her story by refusing to let anyone else write it for her. And maybe, most importantly, she showed us that sometimes the most courageous thing you can do is to keep leaving until you find yourself. Just saying that just gave me the chills. So everyone, that is it for this week's Affairs Through the Ages. I am so grateful, as always, for you for being here. Please, if this is your first introduction to The Scarlet Edit, please subscribe to the show so you don't miss a new episode drop. Affairs Through the Ages episodes come out every Monday, and my regularly scheduled The Scarlet Edit episodes come out on Thursdays. This Thursday's episode is a guest episode, and we're actually touching on a topic that we have not yet covered here on The Scarlet Edit, and it is one that I think is so, so, so important. So hit that follow button, make sure that you're subscribed, and I'm so grateful for you being here along this journey with me. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you at the next episode. I'm Nikki Corbett, and this is The Scarlet Edit.